Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. One could easily argue, and correctly argue, that the biggest problem in Old Testament times, after Adam and Eve's fall into sin, was the worship of false gods. The major heresies of the early church, after the time of Jesus, all had to do with the divinity, natures, and work of Jesus. The problem in Luther's day was a denial of justification by grace through faith, manifested by the idea that a person could buy or earn favor and eternal salvation from God. Each age has its own struggles and error. But all spiritual struggles, all error, have one thing in common: a turning away from the clear teaching of God's word. Our age is no different. The devil is always looking for a new angle, for a new way to deceive and lead the masses astray. But he is the same lying devil of old. He has the same deadly goal. For the last 150 years or so, the attack against the clear teaching of God's word in our midst has been an attack on the teachings of Genesis 1 and 2. Scientists long ago rejected it as unbelievable, as a fiction or myth. Public schools are discouraged from or forbidden from mentioning it, even as a theory. All the popular textbooks teach against it, or speak of it with great disdain. But what is probably most discouraging is that many who preach and teach in Christ's church, who would rather be loved by this world than be faithful to Christ and his word, have been able to simply explain away these two chapters as unimportant, and they have been able to teach others to do the same. Some 77% of Jews, whose heritage lines the pages of the Old Testament, believe that evolution best explains the creation of the world. This is their book, and they reject it. Nearly 70% of Christians reject Genesis 1 and 2 as fact or history, and believe that evolution, not God, is the reason for the existence of the heavens and the earth. That means that more Muslims and Hindus believe what the Bible says about creation than Christians do. It would seem that the devil has done his work quite well. If you actually believe what you just heard in the first reading from the first book of Holy Scripture, that the heavens and the earth were created in 6 24-hour regular days, you are certainly in the minority almost anywhere you go in this world and in almost any profession that you could hold. If you are willing to publicly admit that you believe this, you will be mocked and looked down on and considered simplistic or gullible, thoroughly unscientific. You may even be called a religious nut. Compared to our beliefs that God is three persons in one God, that Jesus was miraculously conceived and born of a virgin, that he was put to death and raised from the dead, that we eat and drink his body and blood, that we too will one day be raised from the dead for eternal life, being called names because we believe God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, doesn't really seem like that big a deal. In fact, with all of the other attacks against the Church of Christ these days, Genesis 1 and 2 don't really seem like a big deal at all. But these two chapters are a big deal. They are immeasurably important. These two chapters form the basis for understanding God and his creation, man. They are the foundation of morality and holiness. They explain the how and the what of life and creation. They establish a male head of household, marriage between a man and a woman, and marriage's purpose of procreating, protecting, and raising children to fill the earth and care for it. These chapters establish our seven-day week, our method of counting months and years, and even our great need to rest from labor. If God can't be trusted in Genesis 1 and 2, then why should we trust him in John 3:16? If he gets it wrong here, then what about everything else that he says? If we can explain away these chapters or pretend they don't really matter, then we can explain away anything that God teaches us in his word. And that is exactly what the devil wants us to do. If we, as a society, including those churches and theologians and pastors who reject these two chapters of God's word, continue to teach our kids that they are nothing more than evolved animals, then we shouldn't be terribly surprised when they act like animals. Since animals are not ethical creatures, not created in the image and likeness of God, with reason that knows and fears God, they do not make decisions by what is right or wrong, but by what is expedient for them. But mankind has the law written on their hearts, and we do make decisions based on what is right and wrong. You see, you are different. You are not a creature of chance. You didn't evolve from apes or come down from the heavens from aliens. You are no animal at all. You are the crown of God's creation, made in his image and likeness. He formed you with his own hands in your mother's womb. He breathed his own breath into your lungs. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are no accident, no mistake. You are a miracle of God. If you believe that, then thank your parents and those who have taught you God's word in Genesis 1 and 2. If you believe that God the Father sent his Son to die for you and for the whole world, as John 3:16 teaches, then believe these words of God from Genesis 1 and 2 as well. It's all true, or it's all false. God created you and everything visible and invisible, or he didn't create anything and he doesn't exist. He both loves you and sent his Son to die for you, or you're just an animal, and your life means nothing. For those who do not believe or trust in God as creator of all things, life becomes very cheap, often meaningless. A baby in the womb isn't a baby, but an accident, a mistake, or even a choice. Ending your own life because of suffering is considered by many as courageous. An elderly parent in the nursing home isn't a mother or father deserving of honor, but a burden, an expense. Not all Christians who believe in God as creator are above reproach in these things. Neither is everyone who rejects the triune God as creator someone who acts upon these things, who believes in them or does them. But those who do not believe in God and act morally have no real reason why they should. If they believe they came from animals and that there is no standard of holiness, no creator, no God, neither is there such a thing as right and wrong, only what is expedient for me. You see, without God as creator, redeemer, and sanctifier, as these texts in Genesis teach, your identity is wrapped up only in you, in what you have, in how you look, in how much fun you can have in this life. In short, you think only of yourself. since the fall into sin, that's what the animals do. But since God is your creator, your redeemer and sanctifier, your identity is not found in you, but in him. You have meaning and value intrinsically. It is built in because you are made in his image and likeness, and you are not your own. Your life is worth something. Worth more than all the gold and silver in this world. Worth more than all the sparrows that God created. Worth more than anything else in this creation. Worth the life of God's only Son. Because of sin brought by the devil's temptation and man's disobedience, much has changed in this world that God created good. No longer are the animals all our friends. No longer does the ground produce good food apart from hard labor. No longer can a woman give birth to children without much pain and suffering. There is sadness and sickness in death. But the same God who created all things good in Genesis 1 and 2 planned for your salvation from the very foundation of the heavens and the earth. In the course of time, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to die for your sins and to be raised again to life for your eternal salvation. Despite what the devil teaches and the world easily believes, you are a unique creation of God with your own talents and abilities, and you are loved. The Father created you. The Son has redeemed you by his blood. And the Holy Spirit has made you a new creation, a holy child of God in the recreative waters of holy baptism. The devil still prowls around looking for someone to devour, but the Creator of heaven and earth, the Lord of life, knows your name, and he loves you and has saved you. Thanks be to God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.